only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
The National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning.
Welcome to the Common Sense Practical Prepper Podcast, where prepping doesn't have to be complicated or expensive. Coming to you from a well-defended off-grid compound high in the mountains. Coming to you from his Florida room in Richmond, Virginia. Neither off-grid nor well-defended, unless you count as chickens and cats. Here is your host, Keith.
Everybody, this is Keith, and welcome back to the Common Sense Practical Prepper Podcast. Today is March 26th, 2024, episode 66. Well, folks, it's been a minute since I've had a chance to record a podcast. I'm not going to bore everybody with how busy my life has been the last 2 or 3 months, but it certainly has taken a lot of time away from doing podcasts and other things that I like, but that is just the nature of my life at the moment. So a couple of housekeeping things I want to get out of the way. I've had a YouTube channel for quite some time. I'll go ahead and put a link to the YouTube channel in the show notes or whatever they call it, so you can have a chance to go over there and see some of my videos. And the podcasts, oddly enough, the podcasts are also linked to the YouTube channel, so they can be found in multiple places, including my YouTube channel. And apparently it's added automatically once I post this through Buzzsprout, I think is the service that I use. It's then uploaded directly to my YouTube channel, which is kind of cool. I know I talked about a month or so ago, my last podcast, that I was going to get a K car. And I have. I have purchased the K car. I finally got everything, got it titled, got it registered. It's on the road. So if you go over to my YouTube channel, and I won't bore you with the description of the vehicle. So if you want to know about the K vehicle itself, go ahead and go over to the YouTube channel. And I think there's 4 or 5 videos that describe the vehicle, how I got it, how I got it registered, titled, some of the urban myths about K vehicles are not allowed in Virginia. It goes on and on and on. Just like anything else, it's the internet. So don't always believe everything that you read on the internet. Said it a million times. Get your information from multiple sources and go about it that way. Okay, I wasn't going to take the time to record a podcast, but given the events of early today at about 1:30 in the morning, the cargo ship that collided with one of the pilings, one of the support pilings, Francis Scott Key Bridge at Baltimore, and brought the bridge down, killing several people, I really wasn't going to record one until I got more information about the bridge itself and how people from around the country and from around the world are reacting about this tragic, tragic accident that caused the loss of life. Plain and simple, folks, this cargo ship that had pilots aboard, if you don't know what a pilot is, Once a ship, and I don't know the size or the tonnage, but once one of these large ships gets within a certain distance from like the port that it's going to, like the port of Baltimore, pilots who navigate the waters of this particular river and this particular body of water, they're required to get on board these ships and pilot these ships or steer these ships into their docking area. When they leave, the pilots are required to get the boat out safely and then out to sea. Then they jump on their little pilot boat and then they go back to work and jumping on a different boat. There were pilots aboard this ship. The ship lost power, therefore lost propulsion and the ability to steer. Ships like this do not stop on a dime. So given the current, the wind, the weather, everything else that was going on, this was certainly a tragic accident. It lost power at least 2 or 3 times. It was able to get power restored within several seconds. But just the fact that it was without power, maybe totally a minute, minute and a half, whatever it happens to be, was enough to move the ship off course and for it to hit the support piling. People are saying all sorts of things on the internet that this is a false flag. It's a black swan event. All of these conspiracy theories that have just completely exploded. Now, I'm a conspiracy theorist enough, I guess, but it's funny. I'm called a conspiracy theorist, and there's people like me But it's odd when a lot of these things that you're that we're talking about end up coming true or partially coming true. A lot of people will look at you like you're crazy. Oh, there's no way. That's just baloney. That's just crazy talk. Several weeks later, several months later, several years later, we find out that what you and I and other people were talking about as a possible motive or a possible reason or a possible outcome of any particular situation, it ends up coming to fruition. It ends up coming true. So we're not necessarily like I told you so people, but we look back upon the people that called us crazy. Oh, you're just being silly. There's no way that's going to happen. And then it does. There's a lot of things that I think may not be true ultimately, but there's a lot of things you do your research. There ends up being a lot of truth to it. So this was a tragic accident. This isn't like the beginning of some attack on the United States. It's difficult to navigate all the misinformation and all the crap that's out there. And then, of course, both sides of the aisle have taken an opportunity to politicize this. One party wants more regulations. One party wants less regulations. It just goes on and on and on. And it's very unfortunate that on the heels of tragic events like this, people want to glob on and use it to push their own agenda. So I am just going to leave that there. But anyway, like I said, I'm going to put a link to my YouTube channel in the show notes. Please go check that out if you want to. Everything's there. A couple things that I do want to talk about. I've talked about the societal decay or the decay of society. I personally believe in the last several months, societal decay has accelerated a tremendous amount. And I'll tell you why. Looking on social media, looking on the internet, a lot of what you see are videos of police officers being beaten, videos of teachers being beaten by students, videos of citizens being beaten, robbed, stabbed, shot, just walking down the street, minding their own business. These people are assaulted or killed with impunity. There are very few arrests. And if they're arrested, the accused are let out of jail either with no bond or a very light bond, so they can go ahead and re-offend. Talked about this before. I think this is all by design. But again, I'm going to lead the conspiracy theory out of this particular podcast. But this is obviously done for a reason. 20 years ago, if you shot somebody or you beat somebody with a baseball bat, you would go to jail. You would have no bond or a significant bond. And then you'd go to trial and hopefully be found guilty if, in fact, you were guilty. And then you'd go to prison for a long time. That's not happening. I don't need to talk about the border because everybody can figure out what's going on at the border themselves. Videos of people looting stores, drug stores, department stores, Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, little mom and pop bodegas. It's gotten to the point that a lot of these stores, the mom and pop stores, as well as the national brands, let's just say Walgreens, CVS, these stores are closing shop and leaving cities. Okay. They have decided that it is not worth it. They are not making money because that's what businesses do. Businesses are in the job of making money. They've decided to close up shop and just leave. It is not worth the trouble, the hassle, the fact that they're not arresting the shoplifters. They can't arrest the shoplifters. And the safety of their employees is paramount, and they can't get people to come to work. So they're just closing up shop, and they're just leaving completely. So that means you have a city or a particular area of a city that no longer has a grocery store, that no longer has a pharmacy, drugstore, hardware store, whatever it happens to be. So now those people have to travel further away from their home to get, say, grocery store, to get food. And that's not necessarily fair to them, but what happens is people turn to crime and they're going to go ahead and go into these stores and loot what they can. I saw a video yesterday. It was a 7-Eleven and 15 or 20 people, some people had masks on disguising their identity. Some people just didn't care. And they walked through, knocked over shelves, took food and drink, and just walked out and didn't even care. There were people with their phones out, and they could care less that they're being videoed. Speaking of video, I saw a video that somebody took kind of ironically, and it was on an airplane, and this guy was going bananas on an airplane, and this other guy grabbed him and pulled him off the plane. It was funny. He pulled him off the plane. Like 10 or 12 people had their cameras out or had their phones out, and they were actually taking videos of this guy. I mean, really, folks, I know as Americans, we're all about instant gratification. And I'm a firm believer that certain areas of social media with certain people, they use that to get what I call like daily validation. So someone puts a video of their dog doing a trick, or their baby saying a nasty word, dropping the F-bomb, and everybody's laughing. Those people do that not to show how cute their kid is, but I think there are people out there that post videos or post a joke or whatever, and they're only interested in the number of likes that the video or the joke gets. So in the end, if that video gets 500 likes, that person has not left their home, or they're at work sitting behind their desk, they posted this video, to them, they seem validated. Oh, these people think I'm funny. And I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb here. I think there are people that use social media as a crutch, in a sense, to fill a gap that some people are not able to otherwise fill through social interactions. We don't go to parks anymore. We don't say hi to people in the store. We don't hold doors for people when they're coming in and out of the grocery store. I do, and of course there are some people, but for the most part, people are so wrapped up in their lives and their phones. People are walking down the street, walking across the street. You see them all the time on their phones at stoplights, texting, watching videos. We are so wrapped up in our little phones and our social media, our own little bubble, that a lot of times we fail to see what's going on right outside of our car or our house. So I'm a firm believer that a lot of people use social media as validation. Oh, I'm a good person because people laughed at my joke, or I posted a link to a GoFundMe and a bunch of people said, oh, Keith, thank you so much. I'm so glad you posted that. And so by not leaving our homes, I'm a good person. Oh, I'm a funny person. Oh, people like me. To me, that's very, very dangerous. First, it could certainly lead to a false sense of well-being. It's kind of taking the easy way out. If you think because 500 people like the video of your dog, eating peanut butter or whatever it happens to be, that doesn't necessarily mean you're a funny person. That doesn't necessarily mean that people like you. That just means that somebody took a millisecond out of their day and hit the thumbs up button or the like button to your schnauzer eating a piece of celery with peanut butter on it or whatever they're doing. I think it's a slippery slope a lot of times, and I think it could lead to, and again, I'm not a doctor, but I think it could lead to mental illness. I think it could lead to people trying to interact from behind the screen, their computer, their phone, and not having to actually go out there face to face and speak to people. Job interviews. There are so many little just things that I take for granted when I was growing up, how to shake somebody's hand, look them in the eye, job interviews, just to be cordial and polite. People don't have to do that because when you walk into a store, you walk down the street, everybody is so focused on their phones or so focused on their task at hand, they're oblivious to everything that's going on around them. So it really comes to me as no surprise when somebody's getting beaten or chased down the street or in their car, and you see people just walking by completely oblivious, either purposely or inadvertently not getting involved other than wanting to take a video and post it on YouTube. Oh, look, here's two people fighting, or here's somebody who tripped on a curb, an elderly woman who tripped on a curb and fell, and her groceries went everywhere. Isn't that funny? So instead of helping the person, you're going to go ahead and post this video because you want the likes and you want the attention. I have gone way, way down the rabbit hole with that. So anyway, I digress. Back to my original point, I think the societal decay has really, really picked up. So this is what I think. If you have not already formulated a plan, I'm not talking about bugging out. I'm not talking about, throwing the kids in the back of the family truckster and heading to the mountains because Many, many people don't have a bug out location. I don't have a bug out location, so I'll be bugging in. And I think as I, in my opinion, as we see society decay and getting to the point where it is and how it's accelerating, I don't think we're too far off from behavior like this, political motivations in a lot of sense, spreading to much, much deeper into the country. A lot of this is currently isolated to large metropolitan cities, but it's not going to be like that for long. So here's my little political part of the podcast. I'm a firm believer that if there is not a change in November to the current administration, what I described about the border, social decay, inflation, the economy, I think at that point, if the administration does not change hands, everything that I've just talked about will accelerate at a much faster pace. Higher taxes, higher interest rates, more inflation, the national debt through the roof. You see videos all the time of people doing little testimonials about they're in their early 20s, mid-20s. I work two jobs and I can't afford my rent or my mortgage. Or I work 60 hours a week and after I pay my bills, I don't have enough money to buy an extra lunch or buy food or do something is entertainment, go to the movies, whatever it happens to be. I really think that that outlook on life is only going to accelerate. So you have 99% of the population who do the right thing, who go to work, try to save a few dollars here and there, you know, pay their car note on time, pay their rent, pay their mortgage, the kids' tuition, whatever it happens to be. And then you have the people that commit these crimes, that will not get a job, that only want to prey off of other people. If they don't have the money to go to the grocery store, or even if they have the money to go to the grocery store, they're going to break into the Walmart or they're going to loot the 7-Eleven. They're not going to take the time to use their money. They're just going to take what they want because they know that there's very few, if any, consequences to their actions. Now, I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole. There's a whole reason why I believe the younger generation, a lot of the younger generation, not all, is kind of like this. Again, it goes back to instant gratification. I deserve X, Y, and Z. Why should I have to pay for it when I can just go take it from somebody? So we have the vast majority of the population that do the right thing, pay their taxes, go to work. They're polite. They're cordial. And then you have a much smaller part of the population that's, no, I'm just going to take what I want, I deserve, or it's not fair. And in my opinion, I think this is only going to accelerate if there's not a change in the this current administration come November. But hey, that's just me. I am not a sociologist. I'm not an economist. I'm just a guy with two eyeballs and two ears, and I'm able to kind of not necessarily read the tea leaves, but I'm smart enough to figure out trends. I'm smart enough to see what I'm seeing, hear what I'm hearing, and separate the wheat from the chaff, I guess you could say, and boil it down to its very basics. And that a lot of that comes back just to human behavior. People are allowed to get away with taking people's stuff, beating people on the street, and there's no repercussions. Why do you think it's ever going to stop? It's not going to stop. It's only a matter of time, and it's already happening, that this type of behavior and crime will come to middle America, air quotes, whatever that happens to be. It's going to move out of the cities, and it's going to move into the suburbs, more of rural, I can never say that word, rural America, and it's going to spread all over. It may take a while, but it's going to spread all over because everybody's leaving the cities. So there's only so many people to rob in these cities. There's only so many houses to break into. There's only so many stores to loot before they close up. And then they just move on. I said in several podcasts ago, talking about some of the behavior and some of the news stories, if you don't think this type of behavior is coming to your neighborhood, if you don't think you're going to see that or ever see that in your neighborhood, I think you're kidding yourself. It's only a matter of time. Now, I'm not saying some small town in the middle of Montana or North Dakota or South Dakota all of a sudden is going to have a riot on their hands in, you know, the next 6 weeks or 6 months. but there's no reason why it's not going to spread away from the cities. Now, as the professional voiceover guy says in the intro, I would love to have an off-grid compound high in the mountains, but instead, I'm recording this podcast from my Florida room in Richmond, Virginia. However, my father taught me to be a good steward of my money, to be frugal, not spend money on things that you don't need. My credit card balance is extremely low. I have very little debt. My father was kind of the person, if you want to buy something or you need to buy something and you don't have the cash for it, then really think about, is this something you really, is it a want or a need? Now, there's plenty of wants that I purchased in my life, but it comes down to the needs. Now, could I have purchased other things just on a whim? Sure, I could have. But fortunately, I'm not necessarily living paycheck to paycheck like I did for much of my life. And I know the vast majority of people out there are living paycheck to paycheck. And this isn't a Bob Ramsey. What's his name? Bob Ramsey? Who's the finance guy? Jim Ramsey? Anyway, he's a Ramsey guy. That guy who has all these books. I'm not the Ramsey guy that's going to tell you, how to make $1 million and all this kind of stuff. I just did what my father did, and I'm very conservative when it comes to my finances. And that has done me very well in the long run. And that's about the best way I can sum it up. So folks, if you haven't started freeze drying food, if you haven't started dehydrating food, if you haven't learned how to store beans and rice in the long term in Mylar bags and 5-gallon buckets, you really need to start. Just do something. Like I've said a million times, go to your favorite store, Costco, Walmart, Target, wherever you shop, Amazon, wherever you shop, and get 20 cans of corn for 60 cents or 55 cents. It's got a 2.5-3 year shelf life. And remember, just because the expiration date is January of 25, that food in that can is good for years and years after. What I'm doing, when I first started buying food in bulk, I have food that's coming up on the expiration date in the next few months. I'm freeze drying that food and putting it into mason jars. So I've taken a can of corn, let's say, that has an expiration, let's say 3 years out. So here comes the 3-year mark. It's good for another 3, 4, 5 years in that can. It's not going anywhere. I've decided to go ahead and start rotating and it kind of do the first in, first out. I'm taking the out stuff and I eat it or I give it to my girlfriend. She shops and she comes to my house and shops in my pantry. I'm like a little mini Walmart, my pantry. Oh, this expires in 6 months. Hey, take 5 or 6 of these. Because they're going to be moved to the front of the pantry and I need to rotate it. So I need space for the other stuff. Here, take this, come back and get that. Hey, here's some rice. Sure, don't want some more rice? How about some beans? No, you really want some beans, don't you? And here's some more beans because I need to rotate my stock. So if I'm not able to rotate it fast enough, I'm just going to freeze dry it. So now that can of corn that had a 3-year shelf life, that's really kind of a 6-year shelf life, now has a 10 or 12 year shelf life if it's freeze dried properly. And I go ahead and put it in a mason jar. However, I'm going to go ahead and extend the life of that. So now I've taken that 50-cent can of corn and it's good for the next 10 years. So I don't necessarily have to rotate that out. So please just do something, anything. Peace of mind. A lot of what I do is a hedge on inflation and just the general peace of mind, like the corn index. When I bought all that corn for 48 cents a can at Walmart, it's now 64 cents. So that's what we're still at 16 cents more expensive. And that's been holding steady for the longest time, which is great. I love the fact that it hasn't increased anymore. But again, that's 16 cents a can. 10 cans, $1.60. 100 cans is $16. So again, like I said before, if I bought it today, the same amount, I would be paying $16 more than I did, back in the day. And to me, that's significant. If you buy corn, potatoes, green beans, peas, and you buy it when it was 48 cents or 50 cents, whatever each can happens to be, and then it jumps up 15, 18, 25%, which is pretty much where inflation is, depending on what you purchase, you've kind of defeated inflation in a sense. And that's how I look at it. So I'm not spending $16 more for those 100 cans of corn, you know, than I did previously. Now, could I afford $16 more for that? I absolutely could, but I don't have to. So, and, you know, that's $16 in my pocket, in a sense, not a lot of money. And speaking of not a lot of money, I cannot believe how expensive it is to eat out. I see the videos, oh, two people at Five Guys, you know, $55. A Big Mac is now $6, whatever. I don't eat fast food. I don't eat McDonald's, Burger King, all that stuff. Five Guys, it's been forever since I've eaten at a Five Guys, and it's so expensive, I cannot justify it. Sure, I've got the money, but $50 for two people to eat at Five Guys? You have lost your mind. If I had money, you know, falling out of my pockets, I would not pay $50 for two to eat at Five Guys. Went to a fantastic restaurant not too long ago in downtown Richmond, Cafe Rustica, an authentic German restaurant. Their entrees were $20. All entrees, $20. You throw a side or two on top. It's like a salad or whatever, $4. Okay, $24 for an authentic, cooked from scratch German meal. $55, $56, I think, with a beer or two. Then you throw the tip on it. Okay, so I can go to Five Guys and get the burger. Don't get me wrong, it's a good burger and fries. And my girlfriend and I can walk out of there for $52. Or we can go to a restaurant and sit down and have an authentic German meal made from scratch for the exact same amount of money. Are you kidding me? If I didn't live so far away from Cafe Rustica, I would probably go there more than once a week. One for one reason, the food is fantastic. And two, it's a local business that I would like to patronize more often. But there is absolutely no reason other than inflation that these prices are absolutely through the roof. Speaking of an increase in prices, I read a link where because of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, the Key Bridge is now demolished. That is a very, very busy bridge, a thoroughfare there in Baltimore, D.C. area. And that basically has blocked the port of Baltimore. And I'm not sure for how long, weeks, months, I don't know, until they get enough of that bridge out of the water to open up the waterway. So now these ships that were anchored outside the port of Baltimore, they're going to have to go to, I don't know, New York, Norfolk, Virginia, Charleston, South Carolina, Jacksonville, Florida. I think there's a small deep water port off in Georgia, but I'm not even sure where that is. So expect the price of everything to jump, either artificially or for the reason that we just spoke about. So the Port of Baltimore is a huge destination for cars. Cars from all over the world, new, used. The K cars that a lot of people purchase on the East Coast from Japan, those come into the Port of Baltimore. So there are probably tens of thousands of cars on car carriers sitting out in the Chesapeake Bay or the Atlantic Ocean that are not going to be able to make the Port of Baltimore. Some of those containers, some of those cargo ships have perishable goods. Here goes the price of bananas or tomatoes or whatever we're getting from South America because of what happened at the bridge. Keep an eye on things. And again, this is another reason, just to say for the sake of conversation, the price of corn goes through the roof because of the bridge collapse. And I don't think it's going to affect the price of corn, but I've got enough corn and green beans and peas, let's say, I'm going to be fine. So a natural disaster, a man-made disaster, a horrific industrial accident. If something happens that causes the something that interrupts a supply chain that causes a significant increase in prices, I've got a fallback. Okay, all of a sudden, if corn is now $6 a can, well, I've got my 48-cent can of corn. Of course, that was an exaggeration, but it's things like this that you can't predict. Things like this are going to happen. Small things, big things, man-made things, Mother Nature kicking everybody's butt, reminding her really who's in charge. You just have to be prepared. So if you haven't done anything, please do something. Okay, folks? I have rambled on for about 33 minutes and I haven't had a chance to edit this, so hopefully I'll get this down to about 25 minutes or so. I appreciate everybody listening in. Again, I'll drop a link to the podcast, link to the podcast notes to my YouTube channel. All the podcasts are also linked there. I think I did all of 2023 and then 2024. I don't think I listed every single podcast, but I did a pretty good chunk. Folks, again, if you have any questions, practicalpreppodcast@gmail.com, or I'm on the Twitter, on the X, Common Sense Practical Prepper, or the official handle is prep_podcast. Again, folks, thank you so much for listening to me ramble. Everybody, it's even so much more important, given all the shenanigans and all the asshattery that is going on today. Please take care of one another. Be safe out there. And until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Common Sense Practical Prepper Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you're at it, help spread the word by leaving a rating and review.